Oh my God, it's the Failing Writers. So dreamy. Oh, I love Tom. He's like a big cuddly bear that lives in your ears. But then there's also John, who's kind of sweet and fit and dumb. But then, oh my God, there's Dave. Who doesn't love Dave? I just can't decide who my favourite is.
Hello, chaps.
Hey.
Hello.
How are we doing?
Welcome to the Failing Writers Podcast, John and Dave.
Thanks, Thomas. It's lovely to see you here.
Yeah, I bet it is.
It's a funny old day today, isn't it? Because for a little while, we thought we were going to be quite busy. And then, for reasons beyond our control, we're not quite so busy. So this is going to be an exercise in what we in the industry like to call padding.
Winging it.
Yeah, we've really started. There's a lot of people tuning in and going to be like, oh, I will definitely listen to this one then. This sounds like it's been very well planned.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But sometimes it's a bit like that. Sometimes the best nights I've ever been on have been ones
when
where there's been no
there.
Planning involved. Yeah, when I was just...
Oh, sorry, no, that's me. That's me and John. Those are some of the best nights we've been on.
The best nights you've ever been on is when I've been sat at home on my own.
Yeah.
Let's have an exercise in spontaneity.
Yeah, we can do that. Just let me write some notes on that first before we start.
I'm sure there's a famous quote about how all writing is improvising. And it's very true. Like, at some point, everything you write, you have to make up.
Yeah.
It's never been there before. So it's all about improvising. So let's make this an improvisation special.
Oh, it's a bit like walking, isn't it? You only say, like, you basically learn to walk by constantly falling over, but not falling over.
Yeah.
Which you can tell by watching a baby try and walk, and it just falls over.
Idiots.
So the entirety of this podcast is kind of going to be like falling over.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, but hopefully never actually hitting the ground.
Not sure about that analogy.
It's like orbiting the Earth. You're always falling back to Earth, but you're just going fast enough that you're also going forward around the Earth.
Yeah.
I think you're trying to make us winging it sound better than it actually is.
Yeah, you're going a bit Brian Cox there.
Yeah, no, by the end of it, we'll get everything mixed up. We're like, yeah, so if you hurl a baby into space... And keep it going, eventually it'll walk around the earth.
Walk back down again, yeah.
Yeah, fact.
I read something the other day about how it's really weird that the way that you go to sleep is by closing your eyes and pretending to be asleep. If you think about it, you lie down, you close your eyes and pretend to be asleep for a while, and eventually...
You fake it till you make it, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So that's
what we're doing tonight.
It's all about. Yeah.
Actually, I don't do that. I literally just fall asleep.
Oh, you lucky swine.
I don't need to pretend.
I hate that. I hate people who can just fall asleep wherever they are.
I had a mate who used to be a postman, and I remember walking through town one day with him, and we were talking about sleep and stuff, and he said, oh, I can just go to sleep whenever I want, because he has to get up really early. And he's like, I've trained myself, I can just go to sleep. I was like, yeah, well, not all, you couldn't, like, go to sleep now, though, could you? So, yeah, I could. And he pointed to this, like, green, you know, the front of a greengrocer's where they just have stuff out the front. Well, I could go to sleep. I'll go to sleep here now. He seriously, I'm swear he was going to. And I was like, no, I believe you. I was going to say, after Evan's fantastic episode last week, we have taken on, we have listened to his expert advice.
Have we?
And I think we should share with our listeners that we feel like we've actually made a decent step forward in our poker night.
Oh, yes.
Fiasco. Fiasco?
Yeah.
Is it right to call it a fiasco yet? Yeah. Or is it just a...
Can we call it fiasco, yeah.
By listening to... And just kind of stripping it back to its...
Nub.
Core.
Core is a better word, yeah.
What we came up with about a year ago, basically.
If only there was some way that we could quickly demonstrate the progress we feel we've made.
Sounds like we might be... I'd be looking at a montage situation, boys.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes a montage is the only way to do it.
Absolutely.
Everyone loves an 80s-style montage.
Who doesn't?
Well, yeah.
It's been a slow start, but now we've had this idea, so we launch. It must be time for a montage.
I liked the outline.
Yeah.
I thought it was nice. It was like going back to where we started in a way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good.
That's it. Exactly.
She turns up thinking that she's now part of the group.
Yes.
But they've also invited somebody else along.
Mm.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Oh, yeah, like Bruce Forsyth.
It's getting very, very exciting.
Or their actual kids.
Yeah.
That's quite a nice moment, actually.
She just feeds them that.
Oh my God. Oh, I mean, yeah. Could that, do you know what? Oh, no, that would be revealing the DNA results, almost like the flock.
Beautiful thing.
Nice, perfect.
I wonder what Tom will say next.
And everyone just looks at Malky and goes, why didn't you? I don't think that's Billy's dad.
Anyway, it's working, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, they all get suspicious. Yeah, no, I like that. I think it's much closer to the original.
Let's do a high five!
It'd be quite funny if, I don't know, she's like made them all join Snapchat or something so she can see them all.
Well, if she's searching like for her dad and they don't know that, then she's probably keeping tabs on them.
Yeah, they didn't have a clue.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it. Let's own it. Do you know what I mean? Just say, look,
it's about
Oh my God, what an intense experience that was. Why have I started singing like David Bowie? I don't know. Ugh. Weird ending.
It has been said, I do love a montage.
So there you go. We got all excited about getting stuff a bit more sorted. And that, what you heard then, was that's exactly how it went down.
Yep.
It was. And for once, that stuff all actually happened. We didn't make it up.
Well, I mean, we did make it up because...
yeah, we kind of did make it up.
That's sort of the point, isn't it?
Well, obviously, we made up the ideas. But
yeah.
You know what I mean?
So in many ways, we're back to where we started a year ago. But we've had a final journey and learned a lot along the way.
Like all good journeys,
you end up... Maybe we're the sitcom.
Yeah, but this is it.
Oh, my God.
We've been living in it.
It's like the Truman Show, but it's like a sitcom.
Yeah. To be fair, we haven't entirely followed his advice, I wouldn't say.
Well, I don't think we've followed anyone's advice.
We've not followed his ideas, but we have followed his advice, I would say.
Yeah, there you go. That's better, yeah.
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 So that's good. Have you been writing anything else, boys? We may as well ask that while we're here. We haven't asked that for a few weeks. What have you been writing?
Well, Tom, I've written absolutely nothing. Well, that's not true. I have written things, but they've all been adverts because that's my job.
Nothing constructive or useful for society, then?
Nothing. No, nothing good. No. How about you, Tom?
What have I been doing? I can't remember when I last... When did we last do our confessionals?
I think it's about 3 weeks ago.
A long time ago now, isn't
I've been chipping away with some more Chad Nadworthy stuff.
Good.
So I've started a few new chapters.
You're putting more in?
Well, you told me I had to. I didn't want to. You said I had to.
Did we? God, I can't remember that now.
Yeah. I mean, I've been trying to ignore it for a long time, but yeah. No,
that's
right.
Good. There's only so much you can edit out.
Oh, and I did actually. I downloaded the, whatever it's called, Kindle Create on the computer.
Oh.
What is that?
Where you put your book into it.
Publishing your own book.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I just had a little fiddle around with that, and I think it's probably less scary than people's. I don't know if I'm just massively competent. Maybe I am. I probably am.
So this is just to create an e-book, or this is to create an actual...
Just both. I mean, I think there's an extra little step the end to do it into the KDP program, and then it does a print-on-demand version as well. Yeah, but I actually got I bought a book from Amazon that I didn't realise was like an Amazon print-on-demand one, as you don't often sometimes these days, do you? And then saw that it was and thought, oh, yeah. And then it kind of just made me, holding it in my hand, it's about the same size and shape as I imagined, similar kind of workout, that kind of thing.
Did it have a good
and
weight?
And I just thought, oh, yeah. Do you know what? I could just actually get this done. I've said this before. I need to get this done and dusted so it no longer exists.
You do.
So we can move on.
Yeah.
Move on. So I've been doing that.
That is part of the joy, isn't it? It's to just make it go away. So was it good? It's good quality? Good print quality?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Nice paper
good enough
and stuff.
It's not ridiculous. You know, it's not like, obviously, it's not...
It's not like vellum.
Amazing, but then, you know, you don't want a pseudo-80s terrible sales book to be on good paper, do you, really? It's not going to be some kind of...
Want it a bit shiny.
It should be on, like, dot matrix printer paper.
It should be on the stuff you used to get for toilet roll at junior school back in the 1980s, shouldn't it?
The smear paper.
Does that even work? Well, it didn't work, did it?
Could do some tracing with it. Afterwards,
it's like a brilliant plan, wasn't it? To cut down on the wastage of toilet paper by just making something that was completely non-functional as toilet paper. Mm. Genius.
Well, it was to stop people going for poos, I think.
That's why I never once went to the toilet.
The trouble is, I spent a lot longer on the toilet having a poo because I'd be like, oh, I could trace this picture of Mickey Mouse. Oh, I might trace this picture of a tree. You'd be there for hours.
But I refused to go to the toilet at school for exactly that reason.
Yeah.
And it stood me in good stead. I can go a very long time without going to the toilet.
Quite a talent, Dave. Quite a talent.
It's all about training.
I've trained myself to last at least 4 weeks.
I can go out in days.
Well, we certainly don't need to worry about where we get to when we just go spontaneous, lads. I think we get some great content, don't we? John, have you been writing? I'm sure I wrote something else, but I don't know if that was...
You wrote the outline for Poker Night,
I did a bit of Poker Night stuff, but I did some... I wrote a short story and entered it into competition as well. Did I tell you that?
Did you?
What?
Was it the Failing Writers second annual flash fiction?
No, I'm not allowed to enter that, Dave, and it's finished now anyway. So not even allowed to enter that.
We should mention that.
So go on. What was it for? What was the competition?
So it was off a website called Globe Soup that do lots of little contests.
How many words?
Was it a 500 word type thing?
What was the prize?
It was 200 quid, I think. Yeah, 200 quid. Worth having a go at, that's what I thought. Flex the old writing muscles.
Yeah.
So this one was the opening sentence contest. So your opening sentence had to be really good.
That's what they're looking for, primarily.
In the first sweep, they would read the whole thing and look at the whole thing. Mm. And then in the short list, your first sentence would be the clincher.
Wow.
Oh, that's tricky, isn't it? Because what do you begin with there? Did you begin with crafting a really good first sentence, or did you... do the story first and then come back to the first.
I don't know, really, bit of neither either. It's really quite an average story with a very middling opening sentence in the end. I thought that was best, just to kind of either to stand out as being particularly quality.
Was it all one sentence?
No, but that would have been a good idea. Oh, damn it!
All the first
that would have been
sentence.
A great idea, John.
500 word long sentence. Yeah.
Well, that's cool, Matt. You need to send us the link so we can do it as well. Is it finished?
No, it's finished. Still going? Yeah, it's finished. But they do loads of ones.
Tommy, you need to tell us next time so we can have a go as well.
Well, what was it? What's the story about?
Yeah,
Tom?
Are we allowed to read it? Do you want to read it to us
I
now?
I can't, because then I won't be able to. Yeah, because it needs to be until it's been awarded winner.
Oh, you're not then, allowed to.
Oh, could you just read it really quiet?
Obviously, I'm kidding. It's not going to win anything, is it? So yeah, may as well. So it had to, obviously, had the first sentence thing, and it had to be based in a fairground or carnival. So yeah. Do you want to have a listen?
Yeah.
The Haunted House. Look, it's kind of hard explaining it to someone like you who's still alive. It's not like you get a handbook upon entry, so who knows what the rules of the afterlife are? Even now, after 20-odd years, I'm not sure I understand half of it. One thing I have worked out is that the idea people become ghosts and stuff is completely wrong. You just don't get to wander around haunting willy-nilly. Most souls just sail straight through. You only get stuck haunting if you've got unfinished business. Even then, it's not like you're ghosting around all the time. For me, it's just on my death anniversary back to exactly where it happened, which is fine, if you like fun fairs. I don't, by the way. Kind of lost interest after my last trip, if I'm honest. But sure enough, every August the 13th, off I go, whether I like it or not. Back next to the kid eating the toffee apple. I mean, that kid is probably settled down with a 9-to-5 office job, a wife and two of his own by now. I sure hope so. But I still see 10-year-old him, and all I can smell are the decades-old, long-gone, smouldering ashes of plastic, metal and flesh. I can't even remember if that's the only thing I ever smell now. It feels like it. I mean, who's haunting who here? And although I can still hear the screams from the rides, the constant twittering of bells and whistles from the almost impossible-to-win games, I know there hasn't been a fair here for 25 years. Not since some idiot hero got burnt to death rescuing that kid from the fire in the House of Horrors. I guess I kind of ruined it for everyone, didn't I? I always find myself standing where we once stood, hand in hand, wishing she was with me, so I could at least, I don't know, stand and queue with her. I'd take that, just standing. Not even talking. We never needed to. I'd feel the weight of her hand in mine, gently stroking the heel of her hand, just to let her know that I didn't take any little bit of her for granted. Maybe that's why I keep coming back. My unfinished business. Because I regret never really telling her that. But there's something different this time. I see her. Like, really her. Not flashback haunting her. It's her. Heading straight towards me, clutching flowers. She looks old. But my eyes see her just as they always did. My heart skips, then drops. She's surrounded by a new life. Husband, two kids. She looks sad as she lays the flowers at my feet like I'm not there. Then she gives new husband the look that used to belong to me. I don't think I'll be back next year. At least, I think that's how it's going to work. You don't get a handbook, you know.
Ooh, Tommy.
God, that was rubbish, wasn't it?
What a load of cobblers. Honestly.
I did try and warn you.
I see what you mean now. I do see what you mean.
I tell you what, Tom, I'm having trouble trying to unpick how well written it was because it was really nicely read.
It was nicely read.
We had that little sort of discussion about sort of.
Yeah, we did the other week, yeah.
What the voice that you read it in can have an influence on how good. Yeah, that was really nicely read. And it may have lulled me into thinking it's better than it is. But for now, I'm going to stick with, I actually think it was really good.
Brilliant. Yeah. Marks out of 10? Actually, no.
Don't ask that. We haven't got time for that.
That road too many times.
Yeah, I thought it was a really Tom story. It's really neat. It's very, I like the way it wrapped up. It was like a neat little parcel. With the sort of callback at the end, Tom.
A ghost story set in a ghost, like a haunted house, ghost train type situation. It's very neat, very nice. Yeah, very nice indeed. Very sensitively written, Tommy.
I am sensitive. What are you saying? Well,
are sensitive, aren't you, deep down? I sometimes associate you with the sort of darker end of the spectrum. And then when you come out with these little things, I always get a little shock, and it's very nice.
There's a soul in there.
I mean, someone did get burnt alive in it.
you could enter that for the Failing Writers 500-word love story competition.
I thought that, actually. That is a love story, that, isn't it?
It is a love story.
It's perfect.
Just enough love to...
It's a perfect little love story.
Just a little bit of sadness.
However, having said all that, I'm not sure it'll do very well in that particular thing with the first sentence thing. Because the first sentence wasn't quite, it nearly was, but it just wasn't quite.
What was the first sentence? It was a long time ago.
Obviously, it was very memorable, wasn't it?
Have you got it there in front of you? Just read the first sentence again.
Look, it's kind of hard explaining it to someone like you who's still alive. I'm not saying it's a bad opening line. So it just isn't, I don't know, for me, it's maybe not quite like.
But it's intriguing. I think it's a nice setup, isn't it? It sort of pulls you in, doesn't it?
If it had been the first two sentences, maybe I should have just run on the sentence.
I think it's the bit about you don't get a manual or whatever. Mm. I like it because it asks a lot of questions and doesn't answer anything.
Yeah, true.
And that's a really good hook for a story. So I'm not sure. I think that's pretty good.
See, I don't think that's a winning first. It might be a good first line, a steady first line, but it's not a, wow, that's a good first line. Mm. It functions within the story and it's right for the story. But,
I know what you mean.
It's really tricky, isn't it?
But isn't that what a good first sentence is? You might find as well that your first sentence is very different to everyone else's because everyone else is like,
everyone else has spent some time. Yeah.
Really long and flowery, mellifluous sentence, and you've just gone in.
I think it has to be relatively straight, doesn't it?
That's the point.
It should kind of throw echoes of the whole story through it.
Yeah.
And make you go, what? Do you mean that should be the job of a good first sentence?
I think it once sort of sets up the premise. It tells you quite clearly what this is going to be about, but at the same time, it's intriguing enough to make you want to know more.
Mm. Yeah.
Good work, Tom.
I'm going to give you a little round of applause for that, Tommy. I thought it was excellent. You played that right down. You were just trying to lower our expectations, weren't you, so that we were pleasantly surprised when we heard it.
I think it worked.
Money's in the bag.
It did. It was brilliant.
Damn it. You know, when I sent, this is what we... It's too late now to advise people sending their stories in to us, but what I should have done is said, I've just shit this out. It's not very good. read it if you want. And then people will be like, I will read it. This is better than the perceived. You're right. It's quite a good entry system, that. Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah. We'll do that next time. But no, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Really did. Good. Really did.
Excellent work.
And especially because I've been reading a lot of 500-word love stories. So to come in there...
Well, there's another one, yeah.
There's another one. You know, it could have been just another one, but it wasn't. It stood out.
Push the bar up.
Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Now, on with the show!
Are you a scribbler? Can't help but nibble away at ideas on a sheet. A writing practitioner who's always wishing her book could be complete. Don't be a prisoner, you just need Scrivener to help you write your things. It's sort of similar to being given a gigantic pair of wings. With Scrivener, you can fly, helps you honor and demystify. The process of writing is no longer frightening, you're done in the blink of an eye. Whether you're a plotter of the next Harry Potter or flying by the seat of your pants, get yourself shot of that dusty old dock and let Scrivener teach you to dance.
So just to clarify, that's a bit of poetic license, right? It won't actually teach you to dance. What we're trying to say is Scrivener just allows you to write more easily. Like, you can refer to your research alongside your writing, or get an overview of your chapters, or reorder chapters just by dragging and dropping. Look, it basically makes the whole process of writing a book more intuitive and enjoyable. Just need to clear that up in case we start getting letters from lawyers saying,
"My client has broken their leg because you claimed Scrivener will enable them to fly, and they could not fly."
You know what I'm saying. Anyway, Tommy, you were asking me what I have
written. What about you then, John?
I started having a go, because I was properly panicking about it. I had a go at writing a little bit of stand-up.
All right, yeah,
Do you now?
We probably should explain, shouldn't we, for context. We've hopefully got a stand-up comedian coming on in the next few weeks or so, and we thought it'd be a good idea to force ourselves to write some stand-up comedy, which...
Yeah.
Was it a good idea?
Yeah, so I thought, look, if I get a little bit of a head start here on the lads.
Yeah, cool. Go on then. Lay it on us.
I'm not doing it now.
No, come on.
Well, you may as well now.
Come on, give us your opening bit. Come on.
No, it's not. You've got it. This is the thing. This is what I've realised. You really have to craft stand-up, don't you? You can't just shit it out.
You can't just get up and do it.
No. It's quite an intense experience, isn't it? I've realised.
Where did you find yourself going with it? Was it like relatable life stories? Was it like jokes?
This is the thing. This is what I realised, that there's so many different kinds of stand-up. There's, you know, when you start looking into it, there's observational and anecdotal, improvisational, kind of absurd stuff, which I quite like. And then there's sort of stream of consciousness rambling stuff. Which I think I
unavoidably chose to do.
Sort of move into this kind of shock comedy, this sort of slapstick and physical comedy, which obviously wouldn't work very well on the podcast. But and I was thinking, I suppose most comedians would look at that list and think, oh gosh, there's so much to choose from.
Yeah, it's all about finding what you're comfortable with, isn't it? Finding your persona.
But I just see like a nest of hornets. Do you know what I mean? I just see this massive pool of stuff that looks so dangerous. And I don't want to go there. It terrifies me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think it is purely down to the idea of getting up in front of a group of people and just trying to do it.
If I tell you what my opening line was on the one stand up gig that I did,
okay.
Will you give us yours, John?
Okay.
That's the deal. That's the deal.
All right.
So this might tell you why I only ever did... I think I did three. Might tell you why I didn't do many more.
This is from back in the day. This isn't what you've written recently for our...
No. So this was from, 2007-ish, something like that. And I had a brief go at it. I was living in Rotherham at the time. And this would date you because it was just about the time when Rotherham became the first place in the country to vote a BNP member as their representative in the European Parliament. So the first BNP MEP was from Rotherham. And I was living in Rotherham, so I thought, maybe I should sort of reference that. And a lot of the rest of the thing was kind of about racism. So I sort of went up and I said something like, "I am Dave, I'm from Rotherham. It's the only place in the world that's known for its coal, its steel, its racism, and the Chuckle Brothers," which brought the house down, as you can imagine. And I just sort of went from there, really.
Yeah. Dude, they must have enjoyed that a little
bit. You just have to say the words Chuckle Brothers on stage and it makes people laugh. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe that would have gone down better in Rotherham.
I don't know. It was a bit...
Yeah, you'd say racism and everyone would sort of look at each other and nod.
Oh, yeah, we do have a lot of that, don't we? Yeah, no, he's
yeah!
right.
Like, when you say a town name and people in the audience cheer, that's a bit worrying if you get the same thing when you mention famous for racism.
It was about that. I did another bit because it was about the time. Remember that programme when Jamie Oliver went to Rotherham and he was trying to get healthy...
Was his Turkey Twizzlers campaign?
Yeah, trying to get healthy school meals. Because I lived just round the corner from that school where he was trying to get the school meals to be healthy, and there were all these women passing chips through the fence to their starving kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the backdrop of where I was living at the time. Lovely place, Rotherham. Salt of the earth. Go on, John. What's your opening gambit?
Oh, I think. Oh no! Sorry, I thought my recorder had stopped.
How convenient!
Oh, what a shame! So that's the end of that. I don't. I can. I'm not going to do it today.
Come on.
I want to hold it back because it's so good. It's so good that when we finally do that episode.
Well, do you know what? If you're saying it's that good, you know what I think we should actually do is I think we should maybe book you into like an open mic night. Would you fancy that?
Yes.
You want to do that?
Yeah, no, let's not do that, no.
Well, if you've got good stuff like that, no, don't waste it.
Let's do them all together because, you know, I'm not going out here on a limb. It terrifies me so much. I need at least one of you to go first.
Right.
I think we should do that one day as a challenge. Do a triple header, open mic.
You can do like
2 minutes each or
something
like that.
Poetry stuff and things like that, John. It won't have to be like straight stand up.
Mm. What I discovered is it's easier to do it as a character.
Sing one of your songs. Sing one of your silly ditties.
Yeah, do a ditty.
I'd love that.
You do those in character, don't you? I think comedy's a lot. For me, stand up's easier if you do it as a character.
Safer behind the veil of a character. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think I'd have to do that. I would have to be like a massively sort of tuned up version of myself.
But they all do that to a certain extent, isn't it? You know, nobody's their like real self because most people are really boring, aren't they?
Well, yeah.
But yeah, everyone's a character. But it's finding the right character to inhabit when you're on stage.
Yeah.
Tom, did you come up with anything? Did you?
Yeah, not really. A bit like John, really. I suddenly was like, oh yeah, cool, that'd be fun, that'd be good. And then it was like, you know, we did that personality quiz the other week. We need one like that. That's like, what kind of comedian are you? That we can put our stuff into about what we're like. And it says, you're a one-liner comedian. All right, cool, I'll do that then. Kind of didn't really know where I belong.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know if I'd... I think probably, in terms of writing it and working it, I think I would be of the ilk of taking funny stories that have happened to me or that I know of, but then you've kind of got to go through and sort of inflate them, haven't you, as well, and put extra jokes along the way and... kind of model it a little bit rather than it just being something you can get a good laugh at a party.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a higher bar to reach.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you'd be good to have that as backup, but then I think you'd also be able to just go out and just start talking to the audience as well.
Yeah, well, I think I'd feel...
Despite that being
I think there's
terrifying.
A bit more... You get a bit more leeway doing that, though, don't you?
You sort of do, because people laugh at the fact that you're just making it up on the spot.
That you are... Yeah, if people think you're making it up on the hoof...
Well,
they will think that... They will give it more credit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very much the thing that a lot of the, you know, Mock the Week and Have I Got News For You are based around, isn't it?
Yeah.
That it's perceived as being funnier, whereas if someone went out to all the people watching and said, you know, this is all completely pre-written.
I think that's the art.
They spent an entire week doing this. They go, oh, that's not as funny then, is it, that little joke you made?
That is the absolute, that's the quintessential art of stand-up, is taking something that's been written painstakingly poured over and honed to the finest point, and then the true geniuses of it make it sound like they've just thought of it just there and then. Those are the sort of the best ones.
But the best ones can also break out of it occasionally and then go back into it again. As in, it can break out, have a little moment with the audience.
They never do, though, John. Yeah. They never do. They just make you think that they are. Because then you see another, like you see them do it, and then you see a video of them doing it somewhere else, and you go, oh my God.
Never see the same one.
They've
twice.
Just done the same off
piece.
One
of my sort of pet hates about stand up is when stand ups do a little bit and then say something about their other gigs. You know, that seems to be quite a thing when someone will tell a joke and it gets a really big laugh, and then they'll say, oh, I did that last night in Glasgow and got such and such a response. And I think that's all right. But to me, that always like, you've spent all this time building up this thing that you've just thought of that on the spot. And then you immediately burst that bubble.
Do you think it's because they just can't help thinking about that?
I don't interesting, know. Yeah, yeah.
Because they're
yeah.
constantly thinking.
Quite possibly, oh,
I
yeah.
I need to do that one better, or what did I do different last night that
well,
I
there's
did?
Well, there's also that thing about writing what you know, isn't it? And what, if you're a stand-up comic who's just gigging all the time, then what you know is the gigs that you've done, I suppose. I don't like it. That's all I'm saying on the subject. I don't like it.
It's fine. It's fine. You been writing anything else, John?
I had a little go at my murder mystery, and I just there was just nothing. I had an absolute blank
oh,
day.
Oh dear. Have you not lost the? Have you that just a temporary thing, or have you?
No,
lost
I
the...
haven't lost my mojo. I think. Do you know what? I had a moment where I was thinking this section of it doesn't work, and the idea of going back and changing what I need to change in order to make it work.
Oh, one of those.
Made me a little bit
just
like,
ouch.
Oh, I'm not sure I can be asked. But
yeah.
I am just writing forwards.
Yes.
So I'm not going to go back
keep going.
And
nor
do anything.
You.
Yeah.
And that does help, actually. That just that idea of moving forwards.
Yeah, it takes
it
the pressure off.
Yeah, it really does.
The, yeah. You think, well, I can't. Even if I wanted to go back and change it, you're not allowed.
Yeah. But that definitely slowed me down because I do worry about things like that.
Yeah.
And... I've just, to be honest, just been really busy. The usual thing, just had my head
just
not
life,
in the game
it?
Of writing.
Here's an idea with one of Tom's inventions that will never happen.
Yeah.
Writing software that immediately blanks out the previous page. So as you're writing, it sort of temporarily blanks out everything that you've written. So you can't go back. You've just got to keep going. It's only when you sort of get to the end that you're allowed to sort of read.
Yeah, you can't read back and edit.
Yeah, you can't go back at all.
I think we should probably get onto Scrivener about that. They need to, in the next episode,
shouldn't it? Sort of blackout feature.
What would you
Scrivener?
Call it? Yeah, blackout feature.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's sort of like those, you know, you get certain games or certain levels on computer games where it just drives you forwards and you have to keep moving.
Yeah,
you can't
you
stop.
Have to just keep going.
Yeah, kind of like that, but with writing.
Crash Bandicoot was always like that, wasn't it? You know, when you're running away from the rocks.
Yeah. And if you take
then
too long,
you can't go back.
You can see the top of the page burning down and you have to keep writing to get away from it before it catches up with you. That'd be quite good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The burning page.
Ooh.
Ooh. Tell you what, we could make millions on that.
Should we set up in competition with Scrivener now they've given us the money for the competition?
Maybe we should,
I think
yeah.
We might have a little head start, but we could give people a notebook and some matches, couldn't we?
we could.
You know, to start off with, they can just do it themselves.
Yeah.
And if you're against the deadline, we could give them maybe like a little bit of petrol or something.
Yeah, some sort of accelerant to really get it
depending,
going.
Yeah, depending on how soon your deadline is how much you soak your paper in petrol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Talking of bigging up Scrivener, I noticed a writer on Twitter a few days ago who said something along the lines of, am I the only idiot putting two spaces behind a full stop?
It's wrong. It's wrong, John.
And that's something
wrong.
That I do as well. Not quite sure why, just something that I've always done.
It is wrong. It's just wrong.
Hey, this is,
and he's been
this
told
is on
it's incorrect.
My list of things.
And then someone replied on Twitter saying... that Scrivener can fix it for you, which I didn't realise.
To me, that's another one of those things that really doesn't matter, does it? It really doesn't matter.
It's wrong, but yeah.
I don't think so.
I just don't care.
Yeah, but
that, to me, that is in line with which way round you hang the toilet roll, the toilet roll dispenser. People get really...
But that really upsets people.
Oh, it does, doesn't it?
Not everyone, but it upsets some people.
If you hang it and it should be facing down, oh, no, you've done it over the top. Who cares?
As long as it's not that tracing
Who
paper
cares?
Stuff. Not bothered.
No, exactly. The other one is the bloody which way round you put the jam and a cream on a bloody scone.
I mean, literally, once you've scraped it along the top, you can't tell. It's not like...
Yeah, exactly. It all comes out the same, doesn't it? So what difference does it make which order you put it on? But
you know there are people screaming now.
There are people
screaming. At
but how often are people having jam cream scones for this to matter that much?
Some people are having them...
It's not an everyday thing, is it?
Oh, Tom, the arguments about it. Oh, wars have been started over
the Devon Cornwall thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't remember which one's which. One's under, over, one's over, under, isn't it?
Well,
is that right?
Yeah. But
oh, well, you can see... Can see why.
Just some things just don't matter. If you want to listen, if you want to put two spaces after a full stop, just tell them I said it's okay. Right?
But there must be, Dave, there must be something that does actually really annoy you that is actually massively insignificant.
Oh, probably. Yeah, probably a lot of things. Probably all of these things that I've just said don't matter annoyed me at some point. But I used to get wound up at the phrase no-brainer. I used to really hate people who use the phrase "that's a no-brainer."
Well, I see. I think people that get really wound up about phrases and different terms that people use, I think that's hilarious.
Yeah,
I really do.
It used to drive me a bit potty when I was younger.
There was a period when that was really popular, though.
It really was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Things do go in and out of fashion, though, don't they? I mean, yeah.
Katie really hates high-rising.
Oh, I've not heard that.
When you're talking. What? You know, that sort of... you know when you're talking like that?
Oh,
and everything you say, it's like a question.
Oh, right, at the end of the sentence? Yeah. Like the sort of California, Southern Californian thing and the Australian thing?
Yeah, I think
thing.
It is sort of an Americanism or something.
It's also quite popular in Bristol,
right, yeah.
As it happens. Yeah. That is quite annoying.
That's reminded me of something we... talked about ages. I don't think we ever talked about it on the podcast.
What was that?
But we had a chat about phrases, because I remember, you know, like put the wood in the awl and stuff like that. Just old phrases that are nice. And my dad, who's from Lincolnshire, if you've got too many of something, a surplus of something that then becomes ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? If you suddenly find yourself with 100 Mars bars,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
or whatever.
That's too many.
Then you would be said to have Mars bars to cobble dogs with. And I always thought that was such a...
cobble dogs
a with? Lovely. I mean, there's just such a lovely phrase, isn't it, of how
yeah.
how many of something must you have that then the next thing to do with them is to cobble dogs with. Again, if this had been a fully researched, yeah. you know, like normally how we fully script every podcast down to the very last word.
Every.
We would yeah. have done some research onto that, but...
There was quite a lot of sayings that I heard growing up that didn't seem to make much sense, but they were mostly racist, so can't really talk about them.
I'm drawing a blank. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. This improvisation. This is improvise hard, isn't it? This improvising, Lark.
What are we going to talk about now, then?
I don't know.
Should
we just put a song in?
Drop a little song in there.
Just drop a little song, yeah.
37 minutes in and we're winging it, but like a bird with one wing. Flying blind like a bat with no click though, by the seat of our pants, but we've gone commando. But the only plan we seem to have is a plan of how to fail, because we fail to plan we're up the creek without fucking sail. What we're talking about, you know, we don't know. It's just a flooded stream of consciousness in full flow. But you probably guessed as much, worked it out, you're no fool. When we talk scratchy bum wiping at primary school, we talked in thrice-ing words, our waffle's gone too large. Blather to cobble dogs with, we even did a montage. We'll discuss our last episode, might have been the best ever, and we'll book some stand-up in for the day after never. Hopefully we'll finish before the bottom of the barrel gets scraped. And we'll talk about the weather. Shooting the breeze, chewing the fat, talking shit, seeing what sticks, and we make no apology for that. Well, apart from literally apologising right now, sorry. Next week, please come back. Please come back. Thank you. Sorry.
We really ought to talk about the fact that the competition that we've been running has now ended. So if you wanted to enter the competition and you haven't, tough. You can't do it anymore. It's gone.
You should have done it before, shouldn't you?
You should have done it, yeah. You should have gone before we came out.
Unless they're listening to this really early when it releases. Apologies, in which case,
yeah,
come on.
Crack on.
Stop listening to this and get your story finished. Get it sent in.
You've got till midday.
Oh, is it midday? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we could be 50-50 then.
Yeah. Midday.
My apologies.
On the 19th of September, Monday, the 19th of September. If you're not going to the Queen's funeral, you might want to write a little story.
I don't think we should mention the Queen.
It's what she would have wanted.
Can we have a deadline on the day of the Queen's funeral?
Oh, come on. That's why we picked it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's why we planned ahead.
I love that phrase. It's what they would have wanted. It's so brilliant, because you could just say
get out of jail free card.
It's just
it?
Brilliant. Yeah. You could say about anything. Yeah, yeah. I booked those hookers. It's what Dad would have wanted. You know what I mean?
What he would have wanted is to not be dead.
Presumably.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you have entered the competition, thank you very much.
Yes.
For your efforts.
Thank you.
We have enjoyed reading lots of them. We've still got some to go, obviously, from the last minute entries.
Oh, we've just, yeah. Now the hard work. If you think it was difficult writing a story, the hard work really begins now for us, reading through them all and trying to pick a winner.
It is tricky.
Because, well, the prizes that we've got, though, are £300 and copies of Scrivener that we're giving away. They're not to be given out lightly. We've got to take this seriously,
yeah, really
chaps.
Do.
Yeah, this is a big responsibility. And people have poured their heart and soul into writing these stories. So we owe it to each and every one of the thousands of entrants to read those stories properly and, you know, judge them harshly yet fairly.
Do you know what is great, though? One came in today, actually. And, you know, when you just start reading it, you think, oh, this is good. This is good. And you're like, reading and think, and just really enjoy it, and it's just like really good, and it's lovely, lovely when those come in.
Yeah. As a testament, though, to how good a lot of them have been, I made a long list, and then I changed it to a very long list.
Yeah, no, definitely a high standard.
Yeah. So when can our dear listeners find out who has won, Tom?
In 2 weeks' time.
2 weeks.
Oh, two episodes.
Got 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then all will be revealed.
Mm. Yeah, in our revealing special. In 2 weeks' time. But yeah, until then, we're just going to be so consumed with reading. I'm not really sure we've got much else to say today, have we?
No, we're not. Well, we haven't got time, have we?
We haven't got time. We haven't really had anything to say all day, but we really don't have anything to say now.
Should we wrap it up there then?
I think we probably should, shouldn't we?
I think it's in everyone's best interests.
Yeah.
It probably is. We'll make this one a short and we'll just say, listen... it's been really nice hanging out with you. If you could maybe review us.
Not this episode.
Not this episode.
Don't
review
this episode.
Don't review this
episode. This is one of the good ones. Like a previous one. Pick one.
Listen back.
But not this one. Yeah. Then review.
What we should have done at the start of this episode is say, don't listen to this one. Go back and listen to last week's again. And then just skip 2 weeks into the future.
We should have split last week's over two because Evan was lovely.
Oh, yeah.
We stole a lot of his time, didn't we, in the end?
We did.
It was quite long, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's the balance, isn't it? We had a long one last week, so a short one this week.
Oh, he said thank you. He sent me an email, by the way. He said, thank you. I enjoyed that.
Oh, did he listen to it?
He had a listen.
Oh, brilliant.
Well, I assume he did. I don't know whether he was just talking about our chat.
Oh.
But no, I think he listened.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, we thoroughly enjoyed having him on. It was great.
Yeah.
It was excellent. I also had a text from my sister-in-law who said, best one yet.
Out of all of them?
Mm. Yeah.
Well,
I was like,
if she's listening tonight, she'll be like, bloody hell. That was the peak.
From the sublime to the ridiculous. Yeah.
That's what writing's all about, though, isn't it? It's the peaks and troughs.
Yeah.
You've got to have the lows to make
the highs
seem good, haven't you? So, yeah. Right, well, let's. We ought to chip off, lads, because we've got a lot of reading to do in the next couple of weeks. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody.
As my dad used to say, you can't shove a horse in a caravan.
He didn't used to say that, did he?
No, I was just trying to think of it. I thought it'd be quite nice to start one of these phrases. Like, be the person actually. Someone must have thought. Someone must have said,
aren't they?
I've got more of these than I need. I've got such and such to cobble dogs with. Someone must have said that first.
Somebody somewhere must have been cobbling a dog. And someone said, why are you cobbling that dog? And they said, well, I had so many of these, I didn't know what else to do with them. So I thought, might as well cobble a dog.
Yeah, well, that's your homework, listener, for this week, is to have a look online and see if you can find the origin of to cobble dogs with.
Yep.
And our homework is to come up with a new
little phrase,
little maxim.
Yeah.
And see if we can start spreading it.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, well, I once tried to invent a word, but it never caught on. When I was working with you, John, at Galaxy Radio.
Oh, yeah.
And I stuck it up on the wall in the office and everything, but no one used it. It was a very good word. So it was enthrising.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Which is enticing
and enthralling.
Enticing and enthralling at once.
Enthrising.
Enthrising.
That's a good word,
that,
isn't
really
it?
It's a really good word.
How long do these things take to catch? I mean, that was 20 years ago. How long does it take to get in, like, the Oxford English Dictionary?
I tell you what, if someone is listening to this before midday on the 19th, they managed to get in thrice into the story. Winner! Yeah.
Well, I'm going to start using it now, Tommy. I like it.
Oh, would you? I'd love that.
Yeah, and I will. Totally will. I'm going to put it in a story.
It's not a silly word, is it? It's a good word.
Yeah, no, it feels right.
It's kind of thing Shakespeare would have made up, and then everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's a word.
It feels like it should be a word.
Enthrising. I'm going to put it in the show notes. I'm going to call this an enthrising episode, which is a massive lie, but will finally make sense when people, if people get to the end. I feel like we should give out a prize for people at the end.
If you get to the end, this is your reward.
If you're still listening now, drop us a line with your address on and we'll send you a bookmark. Yeah. Can't say fairer than that.
That's a cast iron guarantee, by the way.
Yeah, but until next week, if you are stupid enough to tune in again, we will say goodbye and shall continue on with our writing journeys.
Cheerio.
Tati bye.
Au revoir.
Hello? Where's everybody gone?